One of these questions on here was the best book to learn the history of Bible translation. There's a what's that guy's name? Lance. That there's a book called King James, the Bible and Its Translators, and it's a really I forget what his first name is, but I'm pretty sure his last name's Lance. It's a really good abridged version of the subject. Okay, so if you want just kind
I
of
have it.
a,
Let me see.
yeah, I think I have it too somewhere, unless I let someone borrow it.
Yeah, his name is Lawrence Vance.
Lawrence Vance. So Lawrence Vance, he has some other books too, but
Right here.
yeah, that's the one. King James, his Bible and the translators. And so that one right there, it's a short read. It's not, there's some drier parts, I guess, but that one kind of goes through who King James was, because there's a lot of misinformation on him nowadays of trying to like tear him down. And then just going into the different, it goes into the whole history of the other versions before the King James. So it doesn't just hit the ones that are from the TR. It also hits the ones that came from like the Latin Vulgate. So you got like the Douay Rheims, but there's other ones in there. And so it goes through all the early English translations, and then it goes into the translators themselves, who they were, and just the rules that were set out. The really cool thing about that book is it really shows you that King James, he had these rules set out, that you had to use these versions of the English, like the bishops and the Tyndale and just different versions, that came before it, that you had to compare it to that. And here's the guidelines, so he had like all these guidelines that basically had these checks and balances and everything. And another question on here was dealing with, why it was called the King James, why they called it King James, or why that stuck. I mean, it was originally called the Authorized Version, but it was addressed to King James. I mean, in the very beginning, you have this, the translators to the king, if you will. Then you have the translators to the reader. But King James is the one that authorized the translation. He's the one that basically ha made that happen. And so, it just makes sense. I mean, even if you think about it, I mean, a lot of times you put a name on something based off what it's associated to. So, but now I don't know what your thoughts are on that as far as why they would name it that, but or what your go-to as far as a book or studying the subject.
Well, that's one of them, the King James, his Bible and his translators. I don't really have any other books other than that. There's some that are very like, I don't want to say they're biased towards the King James, which they're good, but there's a lot of other ones that are written by, I guess you could say, people who are just not King James, but they just have done the study on them and have researched King James and the translators. I think those books are really good
Yeah, I
because
have a
they
recommendation.
have an unbiased opinion about it.
There's a book called God's Secretaries, and that'll give you, if you want to get just a secular history perspective, because the thing is, if you're only listening to people that are King James only, obviously they're going to be strongly biased toward the King James version, which, amen. I mean, we're all biased toward the King James version because we love it. But if you want to kind of just take a step back and just kind of get a third party history, secular historical source, then God's Secretaries is a paperback book, few hundred pages, really easy to read. And, obviously I'm not saying everything in it is gospel because it's coming from a worldly perspective. But, I think it's good sometimes to listen to things that are outside of our little group, outside of our little circle, because, otherwise you're only getting one side. And so if you really want to understand a subject, it's good to sometimes hear from both sides, especially when it comes to history, because history is open to interpretation. And, when it comes to the Bible, it's black and white. The Word of God is settled in heaven, and we've got it. In our hand, the word is nigh us, even in our mouth and in our heart. But when it comes to history, there's a lot of interpretation, a lot of bias. And so, I think it's good to read a few different sources and not to just only read books about the history from King James onlyists. And you know, it's even more powerful when you hear somebody who's not a King James onlyist, who's not even writing from a Christian perspective, and they're confirming to you how the translators are just such experts and they know so much and they do such a good job. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a really, yeah. Like, it's a powerful testimony when it's even coming from the world, when even the world is telling you these guys are expert first-class scholars. So I really enjoyed the book, God's Secretaries. It had a few things in it that I would point to as being in error or incorrect, but in general, it really will give you the picture and it'll increase your appreciation for the King James.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I've just read online. And just to be honest with you, Wikipedia will lead you to different sources and stuff like that. Dealing with the text, for example, like when you dive into the majority text, you know, what is the majority text? Because even that book, you know, that Lawrence Vance book, you know, it doesn't dive that deep into that type of stuff. I mean, it's very, you know, basic. And so you can get into the weeds with all this stuff. And I agree with you. You know, a lot of times I'll read a Wikipedia page, which obviously is not Fundamental Baptist, and just see what they have to say. And a lot of times you'll see there's definitely a bias. Whoever's writing that has a strong bias against us or against King James onlyism or the TR. But kind of comparing all those together and just like seeing what's the truth, what's bias. There's one book I read, which I would never recommend, but when I was first, you know, got saved, was Al Lacy's book, Can You Trust Your Bible? And Al Lacy's book was kind of like Gail Ripplinger, pretty much. I mean, those, you know, as far as getting into the Ruckmanite issue with it and getting going too far with it. So those were like the first things I read. And then, you know, I had to dial that back and be like, okay, that doesn't match up with, you know, what's in reality, you know, but that was extremely biased on the issue.
Yeah. And, you know, people talk smack about Wikipedia, but I'm actually a big fan of Wikipedia because the problem with using Wikipedia as a source is when you just blindly trust what Wikipedia is telling you. The good thing about Wikipedia, though, is that if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, it gives you all the sources. So Wikipedia can get you started on a subject, give you the basics, but you just don't blindly believe it. You go down to the bottom of the page and you look up those sources, and then that's where you'll find actual reliable sources and original sources. And so Wikipedia is a great tool as long as you use it properly and not just treat it as gospel without fact checking. So...